بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت: ما شبع آل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من خبز شعير يومين متتابعين حتى قبضه. This is the same chapter that we talked about last week. We talked in detail about this subject in our last session, which is about not eating too much, not running after food, fulfilling desires, not making the food as our main concern of the life. In fact, it should be the least that we think about, and not running after different taste of the food. Instead, eat whatever we get and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything we get to eat or drink. As there is a saying that eat to live, don't live to eat. Don't make your life just eating, and the purpose of your life is that you just want to eat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us of this in many of his ahadith, and we talked in detail about many of those ahadith in our last session. There are some more ahadith over here that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi have quoted, so inshallah we'll go through some of these ahadith. Aisha radiyallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never had barley bread for 2 continuous days to his full. If he will get bread for 1 day, the second day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not have the bread. And as I mentioned also another hadith in the last session, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha said, sometime we used to spend 2 months, continuously 2 months, without putting on the stove at our home. We will not even get a chance to put the fire on in our home to cook anything, to put the stove on, because we don't have anything to cook on, or to cook on that fire. In another hadith, Aisha Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma akala khubzan muraqqaqan hatta mat. He never got a chance to eat a bread that was made of a fine flour. He never got a chance to eat a bread that was made of a fine flour throughout his life. In another hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, and he explains his situation when he was studying, he was learning from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a place in the haram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is called As-Suffah. Is a little higher place in the masjid where all of these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, who have devoted their lives for learning Islam, for learning deen, they used to stay there. In other words, we can say that was the first school for teaching and learning Islam established by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in who were entrusted in learning Islam in depth, and they were willing to devote their lives for learning Islam, they used to just go and stay there. It was inside the masjid, but that was their boarding. This is where they used to live. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was one of those people. He says about himself, and there will be some other ahadith that talks about the rest of the people of Suffa. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that I used to get so hungry that many of those days people used to see me as they are coming to the masjid for salah. They would see me lying down on the ground, and I would be fainting and falling down on the ground of the masjid. People think that he has some type of disease, but I did not have any disease except that I was hungry and I was starving. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw my situation, I was hungry for 3 days. For 3 days I did not get anything to eat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he looked at my face, he knew my situation. So he called me, he said, Abu Huraira, come with me. I went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his home. So he asked his wife, is there anything to eat at home? She said, no, nothing to eat except we have a glass of milk at our home. Some of our neighbors have sent us a glass of milk. Before I continue with this hadith, it reminds me of another hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, who says in that hadith, when she explained to one of those tabi'een that we never used to get anything to eat or to cook in our home for a couple of months. So that person asked her, then what is it that you people used to eat? She said, Al-Aswadan, At-Tamru wal-Ma. All we used to get to eat and drink was dates to eat and water to drink. So he asked her, was that enough for you? She said, we were surviving on that, except sometimes some of our neighbors would send us a glass of milk that we would share it. This makes us realize, and should make us realize, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his wives, they are spending days and months without getting any food at home except dates. And it's not even they are getting so many dates that they can eat as much as they want. They would get sometime one date each, sometime two, sometime 3 dates each. And to the extent that sometimes the situation will get so that they will be getting only one day for the family, and they will be dividing the dates into pieces. And only sometimes, she says, some of our neighbors would send us some milk, a glass of milk, and we would drink from that glass. We would share that glass of milk. Imagine how much we are used to having different types of drinks in our life. We get water, we don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the water. We need some juice. After the juice, we need some pops. And after that, we need some ice cream and milk and different types of milks and yogurt and so many things that we keep on running after. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occasionally getting a glass of milk, and that also he does not get enough, just that one person can drink the whole glass. They are sharing this glass of milk. Nowadays, the situation has changed so much that there won't be any house that doesn't have milk. Running out of milk in our homes is a tragedy to us. You can't drink tea. And we all need the tea all the time. And we need to drink milk. Night time we drink milk. In the morning the person wants milk with the cereal. And see how much we are getting used to all of these things. And those people were surviving just on dates and water for months. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, going back to his hadith, he said, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he looked at my face, he realized that I'm really starving bad. So he called me and he took me to his home and he asked his wife, Aisha, his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha, is there anything to eat? She said, nothing to eat except we have a glass of milk. That usual glass of milk that they used to get. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira, go and call all the people that are in Suffa. There were 70 people there. So 70 students were admitted in that school at that time. He said, go and call all of these people from Suffa. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu went and he called all of those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. Those were the people who did not have any job. Of course, they all depended just on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was their food? Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get in sadaqat, he will give it to those people. And if he would get any gift, then he would take a little of it and give the rest of it to these people. And of course, how much of sadaqat and gift Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get? So, they were all starving. But this teaches us another very important lesson, that the beginning days of Islam and the first students of Islam, this was their life. This is how they learned Islam. This was the devotions that Islam required from them at the time in order for them to learn the deen of Allah. In order for them to learn the Islam and to learn the Sharia and to learn the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is another hadith, and still we did not finish this hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. But as we are talking about these people of Suffa, those 70 plus people, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, رَأَيْتُ سَبْعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الصُّفَّةِ. We were 70 of us there. مَا مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ عَلَيْهِ رِدَاءٌ. No one had a full dress to wear. No one had a full dress to wear. إِمَّا إِزَارٌ وَإِمَّا كِسَاءٌ. Either a person just had a small sheet that he could just cover from navel to knee. That's all. Or some people had a little longer sheet, kisa, had a longer sheet that they used to tie it on their neck and then let it down and it will be covering up to almost their knees or little below knees. That was the best dress those people had. The long sheet, one sheet, no one had a full dress out of all of those 70 people who were in Suffa and they were spending their life for learning the deen of Islam and the deen and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that all of them, their sheets were so small that they had to keep on holding it all the time so that it won't open up. This is the type of dress those people had. And of course, those were the first students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who had devoted their lives for learning the Islam, for learning Islam and for learning the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a fact, that Islam always was spread through those type of people who were willing to struggle for the sake of Islam and who were willing to sacrifice for the sake of Islam. Nowadays, we want to learn Islam while sitting homes. People want to do crash courses, sit on the internet and become scholars, have an alim program and then start giving fatwa, buy some books of hadith through the phone and internet. There's a phone call will get us some books of hadith at our home, and we feel that we are the greatest scholars in the world. Without learning Islam from the right sources, and without devoting anything for Islam, without practicing even what we have learned. So we don't even know the reality of what we are talking about, because we have never practiced it. Islam never spreads through those type of people. These are only some words. Unfortunately, many of us are taking the knowledge of Islam just like other sciences. Just like the other worldly sciences. That you keep on talking and talking about it, and you have some certificates that will prove that you have got the education in that field. But Islam is not like that. Islam needs a lot of devotion, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of effort. As Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi says, "Al-ilmu la ya'tiyaka ba'dahu hatta ta'tiyahu kullak." This knowledge of deen is such, is totally different from all the other sciences that you learn in the world. The knowledge of deen is such, "La ya'tiyaka ba'dahu hatta ta'tiyahu kullak." It will not give you even a small portion of it till you devote your whole life for it. If you won't devote your life for this knowledge of deen, you are not going to get any knowledge of deen. Yes, we will remember some words. We are going to copy some words from books into our brains, in our mind, just like we do it with the computer. Take a CD, make a computer program, put as many thousands of ahadith as you want, put the whole Quran in it, but no one will say this computer is hafiz. No one will say this computer is scholar, and this computer has the ability of learning, of giving fatwa, because we all know that computer cannot make a judgment for itself, doesn't know the situations, cannot differentiate between different situations and between the situation of different people, and it cannot practice Islam. So same thing, as computer cannot be considered a good believer of computer that will go to Jannah by having a lot of hadith in the CD and in the memory, and by having a lot of Quran, the whole Quran in the memory of the Quran, so we won't say this computer is going to Jannah, the other computer that has a Bible is going to hellfire. It's nothing like that. We need responsible people to take in charge. And to take the charge and become in charge. And then those people will practice, and then they will spread Islam. Islam will spread only through that. Will never spread in any other way. That is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for this deen from the very first day that deen existed in the world. And this is how it will continue also. Otherwise, even the non-Muslims can buy the computer programs, put it in their computers. We can buy a lot of the copies of Bible indexes, whatever you need, all the information about different books, and all the books that exist in the world, you can put it in your computer, have a bigger computer, and put as much information as you need. But it doesn't help. The thing that helps is the practice of our deen. And this is the difference between this deen and the knowledge of this deen and all the other sciences that people learn. This knowledge has to come into our life. It has to be part of our life. It has to be practiced in our day-to-day life. Then only it's helpful. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me to go and call all the other Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam, the people of Suffa, and there were more than 70 of those people. I called them. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, now he says that I was so hungry. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and call those people, I was feeling, what if he would just give me a sip of milk before I would go there, because he was starving for 3 days. And he says that the second thing that was in my mind, that because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sending me to call them, so they will all come and sit in the house, and because I'm the one who called them, so he's going to pass me the glass of milk and tell me, go and pass it to all of these people. So by the time all of these people will drink, they are going to finish it for sure. It's a glass of milk. There are not even 70 sips in it. So if each of them will take one sip from this, I'm sure I won't get nothing out of it. And he says, I want to call them, but after all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me to do it. I can't refuse, I can't argue, I can't say nothing. So I just went and I started calling those people, and it was in my mind, I wish if some of those people won't go, will be better, but I have to call everyone. And he went and he called all of those sahaba radwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and he said, everyone went because all of them were hungry. So all of them went there, and he said, now, the same thing happened that I was afraid of, that when all of them just sat there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me to pass the glass of milk to all of these people. And I started passing it, and now I'm thinking, I'm not going to get nothing out of this, so I have to wait for some other situation, some other food to come. But he said, at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have made a special dua. And through that dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of those people drank from that milk, and then it still, the glass was full. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he would drink it himself, he said to me, he called me and he said, Abu Huraira, now you drink the rest. So I said, Ya Rasulullah, why don't you drink first? He said, no, Abu Huraira, I know that you are hungry, go ahead and drink it. So I drank some milk and I wanted to leave something for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I gave him the rest. He said, no, Abu Hurairah, drink more. And he asked me to drink more. And he continued asking me, drinking more and more. Finally, I was full. I couldn't drink anymore. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it for himself and he drank it and he gave it. And then he passed it to his family. So imagine that this was the food that they were getting. And a glass of milk was a great blessing for these people, starving for 3 days, and after 3 days getting just a glass of milk, that was a great food for these people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us of these situations in other hadith. He said, Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbih. We people, we don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings, always looking for more and more. And really, if we look at ourselves, we have to say that we are really spoiled. Just like when you give a child a lot of candies, and you get the child used to all of these candies and pop with every meal. So now, in one of these meals, you don't have a pop, he starts crying, I'm not going to eat, I don't want to eat, give me the pop. And until you give him that, he's not going to eat. And after meal, you got him used to candies, and you... After meal, every time he starts crying that he doesn't want to do anything and is not going to listen to you until you give him the candy. Sometimes we spoil our children like this. So, really, if we see ourselves, we are really spoiled. We need food 4 or 5 times a day. Our stomach never gets a break. We don't give our stomach a break. It's always busy. Something in it. It's always heavy. It must be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I'm going to get some time to rest. It doesn't get any time to rest. And we confuse the stomach so much, whatever we get, we just throw it in there. It might be something with hot food, then cold food, then we get something that's spicy, and get some sweet, and then put some tea in it, then put some juice, some ice cream, everything that you can grab, just throw it in there. Even the stomach is confused what to do now with all of this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbih. Whoever will have 3 things, that person has the blessings of the whole world. He doesn't need anything more. Just 3 things. If a person will have 3 things in his life, he shouldn't be looking for anything more. Number 1, aminan fi sirbih. He has a peaceful home that he can live in. The house is peaceful. He has peace of mind when he goes home. Number 2, mu'afan fi jasadi. Physically, he's healthy. And he's doing good physically. And number 3, indahu qutu yawmi. He has the food of one day. He has the food of one day. فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَزَافِيرِهَا. That person is just like if he got the blessings of the whole world, he shouldn't be looking for anything more. If you have 3 things, peace of mind at home, and we are healthy, and we have the food for one day. That should be enough for a person to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say, Ya Allah, I have too much now. I'm not looking for anything more. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us the reason for this in other hadith. But of course, remember, this is not for people with our situation. We need more. We need more food at home. Our fridge has to remain full all the time. Because we don't have that much trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيِّرِ. If you people will trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way you are supposed to trust Him, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيِّرِ, He'll feed you just like He feeds the birds. Have you seen a bird having a fridge at their home, trying to collect a lot of food and keep it there in the nest? No. Every day they walk out of home hungry in the morning, night time they come back, they are full. لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيِّرِ. If you trust Allah the way you are supposed to trust Him, He will feed you just the way He feeds the birds. تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا. Every day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself explained that every day they leave home, they are hungry, they come back, they are full. If we trust Allah, He will give us the food of every day. Day by day, He will keep on giving it to us. But we don't have that much iman. We don't have that much tawakkul. So therefore, if we collect little more, is fine. But to run after just these things and try to just collect more and more and make this life just the purpose of the life, to make this food and different items of food and always looking for better items, different items, making that a purpose of our life, is something that is of course not acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's something that animals normally would do. The animal keeps on traveling from day to night, keeps on walking around, sees little grass there, and then he looks up and feels that there is better grass over there, runs over there, and then he looks up after eating a little bit from there, and he looks around, and he feels that further down I will find something better, and he keeps on running over there, and finds something over there. Same thing, he spends the whole day just after these things. To run just after these things is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting from us as mu'mineen, as believers, and not even from human beings. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment there will be people who will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be full and they will be very heavy people. Physically, these people will be very heavy. They will weigh a lot. لا يزن عند الله جناح بعوضة. When he will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for getting his deeds weighed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that person will not even equal a wing of a mosquito there. With all of his body, with all of his health, this person will not even equal or will not even weigh as much as the wing of a mosquito, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to see how you look and how much you weigh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see ila a'malikum. He wants to see your deeds and your hearts. If your deeds are pure and perfect and your hearts are clean, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see. Fudala bin Ubaid radiyallahu anhu, who is one of the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, he says, we used to perform the salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many times we used to see some of these people from Suffa, Ashab al-Suffa, some of these people falling down during Salah. Falling down during Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, and that was only because they were starving. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell them after salah, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَأَحْبَبْتُمْ أَن تَزْدَادُوا فَاقَةً وَحَاجَةً. If you people would know what is it that you are getting for this starving on the Day of Judgment, you will hope that you will starve even more, and you will struggle even more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you would know what you will be getting there, you will be hoping to struggle even more and to starve even more. Imagine starving so much that they cannot even stand for 5 minutes in salah. They are falling down even during salah. Really, if we look at ourselves, compare our lives with those people, with millions and zillions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, and still we complain. Still we feel that we don't have enough. Still we are looking for more, to collect more and more. Items that we have 10, we need to make 15 of those items. I mean, our dresses, just look at our dresses. Shoes, pairs of socks, everything that we use in our life. How many of these things we have? And we always like to collect more and more and more and more. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us a lesson here, that don't look for more. And always just thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you have. Because the more we have of this dunya, the more is going to take us away from our deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, a person who is mu'min, who has iman, and he gets enough to eat, he should really be very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if he would get a lot of wealth, who knows, this person will never get a chance to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially in this part of the world that we live in, we find a lot of these situations. People keep crying that they don't have a job. They cry day and night. They are working hard day and night. You see them in the masajid. You see them up for salat at tahajjud. You see them praying night times. You see them making dua at night times. After every salat, this person is sitting in the masjid 10-15 minutes making duas, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's looking for rizq halal, for any job that he can find. And finally this person finds the job, and after finding the job, you never see this person back into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. He never gets a chance to raise his hand and to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person never gets a chance anymore to open the Quran al-Kareem and recite even few pages of Quran. This wealth makes us turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the cause of it. Before he got it, he was always making dua, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as he gets it, he forgets about the giver, about the one he used to pray to all the time, and the one that he used to beg from all the time. He forgot about that Allah, and now he feels that the provider is the company where he works, the provider is his boss for whom he is working, and those are the people who are his razzaq and who are providing with all of this. And if those people won't give it to him, he's not going to survive anymore. Subhanallah, how fast we turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stand depending on everything else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore tells us, he says, مَنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فَاقَهُ. This is really a habit that we normally have. People always like complaining. I don't have enough. I need more. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فَاقَةٌ فَأَنزَلَهَا بِالنَّاسِ لَمْ تُسَدَّ فَاقَتُهُ. A person who has any type of difficulty, a person who is in need of something, and he keeps on mentioning it to people, that these are my needs, I need to fulfill this, hoping that people will help him with it, لَمْ تُسَدَّ فَاقَتُهُ. His needs will never be fulfilled. If this need is fulfilled, another need will be there. Which simply means, the needs now will keep on increasing. لَمْ تُسَدَّ فَاقَتُهُ. His needs will never be fulfilled. And وَمَنْ أَنْزَلَهَا بِاللَّهِ. Whoever will mention his needs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever he has, and he will mention his needs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُوشِكُ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِرِزْقٍ عَاجِلٍ أَوْ آجِلٍ. Soon and later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of his rizq for that person. So this is a great thing that we need to learn from these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when we are in need, instead of running to people and trying to have people feel sorry for us and keep on mentioning it to people, I don't have enough, I need more, I need this, I need that, always trying to run after people to get our needs fulfilled, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that person will, throughout his life, he will be always increasing his needs by going to the people. If he will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who will open the doors of the rizq in such a way that now from there on this person will always be satisfied with what he has. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in another hadith, laysa al-ghina an kathratil 'arad, a person who has a lot of wealth is not a wealthy man. A person who has a lot of wealth is not a wealthy man. ولكن الغنى غنى النفس, the satisfaction of the heart and the mind is the real wealth. You see, a person who has millions is never satisfied. That person is still struggling, just like a person who doesn't even have a dollar. You see, a person who doesn't have nothing, just the way that man is struggling, you see, another person who has millions is struggling the same way. So what's the difference? Why did he get all of this for? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making that very important point and making it clear that laysa al-ghina an kathratil 'arad. Having a lot of wealth is not really, does not make a person wealthy. The real wealth is to have the satisfaction of heart and mind that will tell the person, alhamdulillah. That will make the person feel whatever I'm getting is more than what I need. Alhamdulillah is great. But if the person will keep looking at his needs all the time and always feel that this is not enough, he has, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in the hadith, that a person will get a mountain of gold, he feels, now I need just one more mountain and that should be enough for me. He gets another mountain and says, just one more. So he's always poor. In the beginning he was looking for one mountain, and now again he's looking for one more, and again he's looking for one. So he's the same person in the same situation, even after having 10 factories, he's still in the same situation, he needs the 11th factory. So the same poor guy doesn't have nothing yet. This is what he feels. So the real thing, the real wealth is the satisfaction of heart. That the person feels, alhamdulillah, what I'm getting is great. This is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What more should I expect? What more do I need? For whatever I have, let me just work for whatever I have to continue having just this much, and now spare the rest of the time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For learning deen, for practicing deen, for learning Quran, for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for practicing the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking us not to take our needs to people. مَنْ سَأَلَ النَّاسَ تَكَثُّرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَسْأَلُ جَمْرًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, a person who will keep on presenting his needs to people, and he has enough to survive on, it's not that a person has two fridges and he needs a third one, so therefore he's telling people, you know, I don't have a fridge at my home. And you go and look at his home, he has two fridges, you tell him you have two, he says, yeah, but these are full, the rest, I don't know where to put the rest of the food. This is why he said he doesn't have a fridge. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, man sa'ala an-nasa takathura, a person who will present his needs to people, and he's presenting his need just to increase his wealth. It's not that because he's starving, it's not because he's struggling, it's just because to increase his wealth. فَإِنَّمَا يَسْأَلُ جَمْرًا. This person is asking for flames of fire. فَلْيَسْتَقِلَّ أَوْ لِيَسْتَكْثِرْ, is up to him to take as many flames of fire he wants. Take more or less, that's up to the person, but whatever he will be getting and begging and taking from people after having enough, that will satisfy his needs. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, asking for anything more than that is asking for flames of fire. Which simply means, on the day of judgment, all of these things will really be in the form of fire in the stomach of that person. And there will be burning in his stomach on the day of judgment. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us a person who has a habit of presenting his needs to others and always telling people, I'm in need of this, I'm in need of this, this is what I need. Always presenting his needs to people and considering himself poor who doesn't have nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَيْسَ فِي وَجْهِهِ مُزْعَةُ لَحَمٍ. The sign of those people on the Day of Judgment, see, different people will have different type of punishments in Akhirah. The sign of those type of people on the Day of Judgment will be that those people will not have any flesh on their faces on the Day of Judgment. It will be only bones. So people will look at them. By looking at them, will tell that this is the person who had a habit of begging. Nowadays, many times we mislead ourselves by saying, I am not a beggar. I never beg people. But if we really look into our lives, we have a modern way of begging people. Nowadays, everything, we do it in a modern way. You know, people are advanced. So we do the same thing, but in a modern way. In our countries, back home, different countries, poor countries, you need something to be done. You go to the officer, you go to one of those government offices, you tell him, I need to get this thing done. I need to register my company because poor man, he wants to start a small store, small business, just to make his living. So the officer will tell him, how much are you going to give me now? Here, you have $100, I'll give you the certificate, approval for your store. So he comes straight forward. Here you go and apply, they'll tell you, oh, you can't do it, there are other problems. Do you have an attorney? So now you go and pay the attorney the same money that in our country you'll pay to that person. And you'll end up spending more. So we are modern ways. We have our modern ways of doing the same old business in a modern way, in a different way, so that it won't look bad. We have a modern way of begging. We don't go and tell people that I'm a beggar, put old clothes on as those people use today and go and knock at people's doors and ask for some food. Give me dates. Give me some food. Give me a piece of bread. We don't have those old ways. Now, of course, we like to beg for better things. You know, food, who cares? I have so, my fridge is full. I can feed 100 people at my home at this time. So I need something else. So you go with your old car. And as people are talking, where's your car? Marana, I want to put something in your car. You see the old car that's standing in the parking lot? That's mine. The reason you mentioned that old car, so that the person will feel sorry for you. Oh, your car is old, so you need a new one. And then the person doesn't get what you're trying to tell him, so you'll tell him, yeah, you know, I bought this car a long time back. Alhamdulillah, it's running. It's giving me problems sometimes, you know, I have to fix it sometimes. And I keep on traveling also a lot and gives me hard times sometimes. But that's fine, alhamdulillah. You hope that he will say, okay, brother, I will help you getting another car. Oh, mashallah, you know, there is no need, but inshallah, Allah will reward you for it. We have modern ways of begging. These are all different ways of begging. Taking it from people. So we use the same old way, and we should not fool ourselves that if we are doing these things, this is the same old begging. And these are the same hadith that will apply to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, those people on the Day of Judgment, there will be people in different situations. These beggars will be in different situations. Some of them will not have any flesh at all on their faces, just bones. Some people, they will have some flesh missing from their face. So people will look at them, they will realize, okay, this is a person who used to beg sometimes. So according to how much we beg, depending on that, this is how much the flesh of our face will be missing on the Day of Judgment. Seeing that, people will realize and will notice that this is the person who had that habit. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he disliked this habit so much that sometimes he used to take bay'ah, allegiance with Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, that you will never ask anyone for anything. You will never ask anyone for anything, to the extent sometime he even put a condition that if you are riding your horse or your camel and something falls off your hand, you are not going to ask someone else to pass it to you. It's a form of asking. Don't ask someone to pass it to you. Come down, pick it up, and ride back on your horse or camel. So that much, to that extent, he wanted people to stay away from asking people and not closing the doors of begging so much that he did not even want people to ask for something that is their own, but asking someone else to pass it to them, he said, no, that will open the door of asking people. Don't ask. Go and pick it up for yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Salat al-Mustaqim and protect all of us against all the evils. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.